Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Hey, like most of you, I had, not have, had trouble sleeping, but I sleep better than ever. And you know what? It's all because of a pillow. Mike Lindell's My Pillow has changed my life for the better, and it works. What makes My Pillow so different is their patented adjustable fill. Now, you can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual comfort need and get the support you absolutely must have. And that means you fall asleep faster, you stay asleep longer. It just works. Now, millions of people have already discovered that MyPillow works for them, and now it's time for you to experience MyPillow for yourself. Just go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Sean, and when you do, Mike Lindell will give you his best offer ever. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 10-year warranty, and a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. So get started and get the sleep you crave and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity, and get Mike Lindell's special 2-for-1 offer. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, a spectacular news day. By the way, I'm not complaining about my job because these are unbelievable, unpredictable, fascinating times, and I'm so glad in many ways that I have literally aligned myself with a team of people that have just done the work of a lifetime in terms of exposing what the mainstream media refuses to expose. I mean, Sarah Carter will join us later. You know, Freedom Caucus members have been spectacular. Then you've got John Solomon. Then you've got Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch. Then you've got, let's see, Victoria Tunsing and Jay Sekulow. And it was about a year ago that we told you, and not quite a year yet, that we told you that, in fact, Trump Tower was being surveilled, that a FISA warrant had been obtained. And it has now taken this long in this effort to unpeel every single layer of the onion, where we now know everything we've been telling you. And we knew then, and I know more now that's coming, but I can't reveal it until I can confirm it totally. But we now know that everything that we have been saying to you is true. And the rest of the media has failed on a spectacular level. I mean, these, when all is said and done, and the chips fall where they will, it's going to be an awakening moment for the country, in as much as they will recognize and understand the level of deceit and lying and the political agenda of pretty much everybody else in the media, and that they will be exposed with more egg on their face than even we know now exists. They are now in a defensive posture because they know that they have been wrong, and they are clinging to their lie in the hopes that Robert Mueller is at a crossroads now. Robert Mueller is either going to try and do something, quote, spectacular, and I don't know. I mean, after his leaking yesterday that the media ran with, they absorbed it like it was manna from heaven for them, and then he's either going to go one way or the other. He's going to recognize, oh, my God, this is really bad. What we've been doing is wrong. There's a lot of corruption here. I never recognized the truth on a lot of these issues. Or he's just going to try and double down on stupid and double down on the witch hunt. And based on his previous conduct, and his conduct yesterday, frankly, was all a distraction. Everybody knew that at some point the special counsel would want to talk to the president. Everybody knew that he would talk to Bannon. And they were acting all day yesterday like this was the most spectacular news. And they did what they've been doing now for a year, and that's breathlessly and hysterically reporting something that had been old news for a long time and had been discussed for a long time. And meanwhile, as we're digging and scraping away and trying to get to the truth and facts, you know, we're reporting last night what has been totally corroborated and confirmed. But I knew it last night just as I was going on TV. I mean, literally, I was rewriting my monologue up until 8:59:30 last night because of the breaking news that the U.S. government officials have now confirmed that they were able to recover the 5-month missing period of Strzok and Page text messages. I mean, to think that there's 50,000 of them, 50,000. Now, the good news is, as I reported last night, the Justice Department has recovered them. And that is the missing text between, you know, Robert Mueller's anti-Trump lovebird, Strzok and Page. The bad news is, from my perspective, is now the Justice Department wants to screen those texts before they turn them over to Congress. I think we deserve to see it. Just how about just release them all? How about show the American people the truth? I mean, this is a guy you got to remember here. They hate Donald Trump. F Trump. They have said every negative, vicious, hostile, nasty thing that they could say about Donald Trump in these text messages. And I think one of the most, you know, not on top of them talking about an insurance policy, which means, well, in the like unlikely event that Donald Trump wins, we need an insurance policy. And then you've got them discussing how this is, again, Peter Strzok is literally exonerating and writing an exoneration letter for Hillary Clinton and the email server scandal with James Comey before they ever investigate the case and the main players involved in that case. Now, first you got to go back and you got to say to yourself, well, what evidence, Hannity, did we ever have that what Hillary Clinton did was illegal? Okay, well, we know that it is a crime to mishandle classified, top secret, and the highest classification of special access programs, special vacation programs, and that all of which were on the secret server in the mom and pop shop bathroom in the closet. We also know that from the original drafts of Strzok and Comey, that they used the legal standard gross negligence, which in their many, well, evolutions of trying to exonerate Hillary, they put in and they took out. They put in and they took out. And remember, they also talked about the fact that foreign entities, foreign intelligence agencies, that they captured all of that classified, top secret, and special access program information. In other words, national security of the United States of America was compromised because Hillary Clinton didn't want her emails looked at, which was a violation of law from the get-go, and then mishandling the classification process. And then it gets worse. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. And then when you have 33,000 subpoenaed emails, and she lies and tells us it's about yoga and a wedding and a funeral, how could you have 33,000 emails about weddings and yoga and a funeral? And how do you email somebody that doesn't have an email account, as she claims she was emailing her husband, Bill Clinton? And she was asked the infamous question by Ed Henry of Fox News. Did you wipe the server clean? And he's like, you mean like with a cloth?
Did you wipe the server?
What, like with a cloth or something?
I don't know.
Like with a cloth. No, she acid washed it with something most Americans had never heard about, because most Americans would never think or conceive of the idea, uh-oh, we've got to delete these emails. And a matter of fact, we've got to get rid of them forever. So we'll acid wash, bleach bit, and we'll get remove them forever. And just in case any of them ever made it to a mobile device, we'll just smash those mobile devices with a hammer and beat the crap out of them. And the few mobile devices that they did hand over to the FBI were meaningless and useless because they didn't have any SIM cards in them, meaning all the information was gone and destroyed. Now, we've been able to recover some of that. And even James Comey on July 5th had confirmed that she did a lot of these things. But no prosecutor would ever prosecute. Baloney, they wouldn't prosecute. So you imagine what is unfolding before our eyes here. So you've got in a case, putting aside that she, according to Donna Brazile, rigged the primary. Her words, not mine. Bernie Sanders. Then you've got the FBI director, James Comey, writing an exoneration letter with Peter Strzok, who hates Donald Trump and is talking about insurance plans in case Trump wins, with his mistress and his girlfriend. And they're writing it in early May. They don't even interview Hillary Clinton until the 4th of July weekend. And then July 5th, Comey comes out and exonerates her for 13 and a half minutes. We all thought that, wow, he's going to pull the trigger and the rule of law is going to be upheld and the Constitution is going to be upheld. No. But then we now got from the other text messages, not the five missing months yet. We haven't gotten those. Then we find out that, oh, what a profile in Courage. This is on July 1st, 3 days before they ever interviewed Hillary. They're talking about Loretta Lynch. Yeah, the same Loretta Lynch that it was exposed that she met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. And she's the Attorney General of the United States. And she's supposed to be following up on the rule of law. But she makes a very, very I'll just go along with what the FBI says. Well, that's after talking to Bill Clinton for 40 minutes about their grandchildren, if you buy that lie. And then 3 days later, they interview Hillary. The fourth day, Comey comes out and Comey exonerates Hillary pretty much. And so the primary's rigged. Comey struck and apparently Loretta Lynch and Andrew McCabe all knew she was never going to be found guilty. Then Hillary's paying $12+ million through her campaign, funneled through a lawyer, through the DNC, where she controls the money, according to Donna Brazile, $12+ million to Fusion GPS, which never verifies what the MI6 agent Christopher Steele has put together. And that is a dossier full of Russian lies, salacious lies, propaganda that Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson admits in his testimony he was shopping and coordinating with the Hillary campaign to shop it to the media. And then so the phony Russian dossier is used because they want to rig the general election. And then it gets even worse because that dossier is then used to get a FISA warrant against an opposition candidate in an election year. Think about this. And then against the president-elect. And the powerful weapons and tools of the intelligence community are then turned on the American people based on one party's bought and paid for lies. And the media ignores all of this. The media doesn't care. We'll play later in the program today. I think we got 65 times yesterday. CNN takes the talking points. You know, Jeff Zucker soon and developing scandal plague man that he is. Jeff Zucker, 65 times, Russia, 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 Russia. That's all they talk about. They've been wrong for a year. Wrong for an entire year. Now, all of this is going to be exposed. Now, the big question I have at this hour is pretty simple. Now, we got a lot to talk about. Will there be a second special counsel? When are they going to release the memo? When are we going to get the 5 months of missing text now that they are able to recover it? You know, what about what Ron Johnson was talking about with the secret society? Is that real or is it, as ABC suggests, done in humor? You know, when is the judiciary? We know that Representative Ratcliffe wants Comey to come testify about his inconsistencies. Another word for inconsistency, by the way, may be lie. Mueller's looking to question Trump. Trump says he wants to talk about them. Everybody in the media is not looking at the behavior of the deep state, the intelligence community, the weapons of intelligence, James Comey's behavior, Strzok and Lisa Page's behavior, the team that Mueller, the corrupt team of Obama, Hillary, DNC donors that he's put together. And we're like sitting here on an island and they've been wrong and we've been right. And it's not just me. I mean, everybody that I just mentioned is without them, we are not where we are today. But I'm worried that Mueller, he's either going to try and do something spectacularly stupid and try and upend the entire country, or he's just going to recognize that they've been exposed and pack his bags and get out. And I don't know what he's going to do. I don't trust him or Weissman or any of the other Hillary Obama DNC donors that he hired. There's so much to this, and we're only in the beginning phases of it. And those that have seen the memo are telling me, oh, no, that's like 10-15% of what's coming. I mean, you can't write a novel this deep in corruption, but it's happened in the United States of America. I always knew there was no way that there was never a picture of Louis Farrakhan and Barack Obama. They literally lived close to each other at the time. And Louis Farrakhan was close to the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And I always wonder, I said, well, and nobody ever asked the question. Well, it turns out there's a big story behind it. Talking Points memo, at least reporting today, that a journalist publishing the photo of Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. By the way, this was in 2005. It was well known that he was a racist and anti-Semite at that time. At a CBC meeting, and the owner of the picture, Askia Muhammad, told this news service that he gave up the picture at the time and basically swore secrecy. He said, after the nomination was secured and all the way up to the inauguration, then for 8 years after he was president, I kept undercover. Asked whether he thought the photo's release would have impacted Obama's presidential campaign, he said, quote, I insist it absolutely would have made a difference. Reached by Talking Points memo, Muhammad said that a staff member for the CBC contacted him in sort of a panic after he took the photo at a caucus meeting in 2005, and Talking Points memo has now published the photo. There's Louis Farrakhan and Barack Obama. He said, I sort of understood what was going on, he told Talking Points memo. He said, I promised and made arrangements to give the picture to Leonard Farrakhan, the minister's son-in-law and chief of staff. Muhammad said he gave away the disc from his camera, but he copied the photograph from that day onto his file on a computer. Realizing that I had given it up, I mean, it was sort of like a promise to keep the photograph secret. He said he didn't release it because he thought it would be perceived as a betrayal of that promise. I was really, I guess, afraid of them. And he said that he thought the photograph would be damaging politically if it were released and was afraid someone might break into his apartment looking for it like that Watergate crap. He said he felt a little bit more at ease after Farrakhan in 2016 claimed that Obama visited his home in Chicago. Muhammad contacted Farrakhan in 2017 with the final manuscript and the photo in it. I sent him a copy of the manuscript, and he said if he didn't object, I was going to publish it. He said he had no objection. Quick break, right back. We'll continue. Your call's coming up, 800-941-SHAWN. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. We'll get to some calls hopefully this half hour. We got Sarah Carter. We got Ron DeSantis coming up today. Danielle McLaughlin, Jonathan Gillum. So Nancy Pelosi is a multi-millionaire, very wealthy. And you may remember when she was Speaker, you know, she would take her government Gulfstream, which is a huge jet that like seats 16, 18 people, out to the West Coast every weekend or whenever she'd go home. And I guess all the other people that we were paying. Now, it was interesting, John Boehner, who I can't stand. I mean, John Boehner did not do that. He got on commercial aircraft. I think Paul Ryan does the same, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, Pelosi's doubling down on stupid, meaning her claim that a $1,000 bonus is only crumbs for the middle class in America. She's at a town hall recently, and she said there's a little mousetrap that's got a little piece of cheese on there, and there's a mouse about to take it, and that's called the middle class, she said. And all around her are fat cats. And that's the thing. The middle class gets this little thing, and the fat cats get this big bonanza. You get the crumb, we get a banquet. Now, Pelosi has previously blasted these bonuses. Now, you have a lot of companies giving pay raises and $1,000, $2,000 bonuses to the people that work for them because of the Trump tax cuts, which, as somebody that had no money for a lot of years of my life, $1,000 is a lot of money. On average, families are going to save $4,000. 90% of the American people are going to see money back in their pocket. And I know if you live in New York, California, Illinois, or New Jersey, you're frustrated. My advice to you is elect people that believe in limited government and spend less money. If Florida and Texas, if they can live without state income taxes, you would think New York and California could. But those socialist utopias cannot. And as a result, they're losing, literally losing billions of dollars every year because people are saying, you know what, I've had enough of your picking my pocket and I'm getting the hell out of here. Anyway, so she said that before. Here's an interesting development. Kerry Pickett at the Daily Caller is writing about. She's a nice person. We love Kerry Pickett on this program. Great reporter, nice person.
I give Lois Lane in leather.
Okay, I did not say that. You did.
I know she loves that nickname.
Yeah, but she works hard. I mean, she pounds the pavement. She always shares good tapes that she has with us.
She gives us great stories.
She really does. And, you know, she does it just to get the story out. She's passionate about what she does. Anyway, And she wrote about the Trump associates who are sucked up in this Mueller phony Russiagate investigation and now considering filing a suit against the Justice Department for what amounts to malicious prosecution. And they may seek to recover tens of millions of dollars in damages that were incurred during what appears to be a baseless investigation. You know what it's like, by the way, if you're under investigation? You know what they try to do to most people? Bankrupt you. They try and drive you into poverty. And they've got literally a well of, you know, endless sums of money. And it's not their money. What do they care? Anyway, witnesses subpoenaed by Congress to answer questions. And Charles Grassley is going to apparently release Don Jr. and his time. I can't wait to see it personally because I know Don Jr. did nothing wrong. But anyway, they want to explore legal options against certain persons involved in the investigation. Mike Caputo, a former Trump campaign aide, told the Daily Caller yesterday a group of individuals, including himself, who are sucked up and swept into this ridiculous Russia investigation, hit financially with very steep legal bills and lost job opportunities. Well, they're now considering filing a lawsuit against the federal government. It appears, they say, as if the FBI and Department of Justice were weaponized against the president and his associates, including me. I was informed I was unmasked and surveilled. I have been told numerous times I have been unmasked and surveilled. Shocking. The investigation has destroyed many lives, drained our bank accounts, and if the FBI or DOJ indeed broke the law, a group of us plan to sue to recover the damages to our families and our businesses. I don't blame them. One bit. Not even a little bit. And I would do the same thing. And I think it's smart to do. Now, there's going to be a push, I would assume, when we get the memo. Now, I'm not expecting the memo. I know the president is in Davos right now. And apparently, even MSNBC is reporting that he's dazzling everybody in Davos. Oh, you want to know an interesting side note? The Heritage Foundation has now rated Trump's first year better than Reagan. That's pretty amazing in terms of what he's gotten done. And it's funny. Everyone says, well, he's a populist. Now, he's governing as a conservative. I've been on the air and radio for 30 years, and I'm a Reagan conservative, always have, and I remain that today. I'm not a nationalist, and I'm not a populist. I'm a Reagan conservative. Anyway, storms Davos. I'm looking at the Drudge Report. Speech, invest in America. Oh, and his approval rating is 45%. I always say he's at least 7 to 10 points higher. Still a group of people that don't want to admit they like him, but they love him secretly. Dow is up another 200. I guess now we're going to be headed to 27,000. I'm still not a believer in the Dow. Sorry, you're not going to suck me in. Just like I'm not a believer in Bitcoin. But, you know, you all do what you want. Check in with your own people and make your own decisions. I don't know. I like to be able to touch it, feel it, see it, just the way I'm wired. I grew up with parents that grew up in the Depression, and they beat it into my head. Save money, save money, save money, save money, save money. So, you know, and I don't blame them because they didn't have any. Anyway, so there's going to be a push after this next week when the memo is released for a second special counsel. I actually think it probably would be a good idea at this point to investigate all this corruption. The good news is what I reported last night on Hannity, the breaking news I came into the show with last night, is, yeah, the 5 months of missing texts are being recovered. Look, I don't know about the secret society. ABC News, and I was just getting wind of this as I was coming on the air last night. I didn't have enough time to investigate it because I was breaking this other news, and I was on the phone for like an hour and a half about the 5 months recovered. I don't know what he was talking about. I mean, I did see the text that ABC released. And their interpretation of it, it was set in humor, the offsite meeting comment, you know, but I don't know. I let you read it yourself and you can make the decision. What else? We have Comey stating July 5th, no one at the DOJ knew of his decision to clear Clinton. Except Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and apparently Loretta Lynch. And I think apparently also Andrew McCabe. But Comey testified before the House Judiciary in September of 2016 that he made the decision not to charge Clinton after she was interviewed on July 2nd. Remember, July 1st is the text where, Loretta Lynch is showing such a profile in courage because she knows nothing's going to happen. pretty amazing. Comey should also be asked why he stole government documents. Comey's got a lot. Listen, Comey now hired that Columbia professor, how convenient, that he leaked information to the New York Times to for the very purpose that his BFF Robert Mueller would get appointed. And I know Mueller wants to question Trump, but you got to understand, as it relates to that, no attorney is going to allow this to be open-ended. There's going to be a lot of negotiations behind the scenes. Look, it's a credit to the president. There's an incredible picture on Drudge you got to see. It's Obama, Robert Mueller, and James Comey. I mean, you got to go take a look at this. It really is scary for those of us now that are following this as closely as we have and everything that we've discovered, that the fix was in, that it was rigged, a whole dossier issue. Anyway, there's one article. I don't want to cite the source. I'm going to follow it on my own, do my own investigation, and then report to you. So the FBI's missing messages. You know something? I'm going to tell you something. How is it Lois Lerner, you know, 2 years to recover her emails? How is it Hillary deletes 33,000 subpoenaed emails, bleach pit, acid wash, busted up mobile devices? How is it Debbie Wasserman Schultz the same thing? How many times is this going to happen? Things go missing. Conveniently. The House Intel Committee could vote on releasing the FISA memo next week. You know, Alan Dershowitz was on last night, and Alan Dershowitz and I don't agree a lot on politics, but I think he's on track here. I worry Mueller is going toward obstruction of justice, and that would create a constitutional crisis. He's right. And it would create a constitutional crisis based on the team that Mueller has put together, how abusively biased they are, how the fix was in for Hillary, and then the dossier that she paid for was used illegally, I argue, to obtain a FISA warrant to spy on an opposition candidate and an incoming president. And let me get to our busy phones here. By the way, faith in the FBI has plummeted as 49% of plurality now demanding a special prosecutor. American people are so much smarter than the media. They get it. They understand all of this. I'm telling you right now, they're hiding something. And all of this is coming to light very quickly. They left too many crumbs behind them because they thought Hillary was going to win. Now let's get to our phones. Nikki is in Wisconsin. Hey, Nikki, how are you? Glad you called, and happy Thursday to you.
Hi, how are you? I don't think that the Mueller investigation ever had anything to do with Russia or collusion or anything of the sort. I think it was, and I think the emails that just came out as far as Stroke not wanting to be a part of it until he decided it was to lead to impeachment, that's the whole reason for this whole investigation in the first place, I think. I'd be really interested to see. There must be an email that came in between those two, wouldn't you think, from Page?
Between,
as far as why did he all of a sudden be interested in a questioning about an investigation which would lead to impeachment?
Okay, and an email between who and who? Between Page and Strzok?
Strzok and Page. The one email where he sent out that he wasn't interested in being on the
Yeah, no, and then he said, wait, if I could be a part of history, yeah, if I
right.
in an impeachment, man, I really should do this, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And I think, and that was 2 days after Mueller was appointed, right?
It kind of makes you think, doesn't it, that maybe there was a lot of coordination on a lot of levels, doesn't it? I mean, you know, the people that are dismissing this, frankly, are only people that have immersed themselves in a lie, immersed themselves in never Trumperism. And once your ego, it's sort of like, did you ever notice anybody that ever says that their doctor isn't the best or their dentist isn't the best or their school isn't the best? Does a human ego want to ever acknowledge that they picked a bad doctor, dentist or school for their kids? It's the same thing here. They've immersed themselves in a lie, and it's going to take a lot for them to now open their eyes and see the truth, right?
And if the Democrats take over the Congress, or, I mean, the House of Representatives come, you know, the election, they're going to go to impeach. They don't need any charges brought against Trump. All they need is a report that comes out from Mueller that asserts that there was some.
You're getting ahead of me.
Going on.
You're very smart, and you're getting ahead of me. At some point during this midterm election year, we're going to have to make some important decisions. And one of the things I will warn you right now that is going to be a factor in the decision of how you're going to vote, a lot of these congressmen and women do not deserve to go back to Washington. But if Nancy Pelosi ever gets the House and is the Speaker, I promise you they will try to impeach him regardless of how the outcome is here. Their hatred for this man is that acute. And we're going to have to make a decision. We're going to have to basically, you know, suck it up and vote for some people that we know are not 100% true to their word. It will be lesser of two evils in some cases. But if you don't do it, the country is going to be sent into a constitutional crisis, perhaps the likes of which we've never seen. I don't want that for the country. It would be very, very ugly. So I don't know if you agree with me. Lou, real quick in Florida. Lou, we got about 45 seconds.
Okay, thanks for taking my call, Sean. Okay, since you've been reporting that the DOJ is releasing the so-called lost texts, okay, why should we not feel confident that since the DOJ Sessions, you know, won't release everything that's pertinent, you know, and important for us to see? Is there like two? You almost think like there's two Department of Justices or something.
Well, I will tell you this.
How soon do you think they'll release the memo?
Okay, I think we're going to stay on the line. I think we're going to get the memo next week after the State of the Union. That's number one. Number two, remember, we had an indictment on Uranium One because unbeknownst to all of us for numerous months, there's been an investigation that nobody knew about. Remember, the Department of Justice does things, then they're not supposed to tell us. They're not leaking like Mueller's special counsel every day. So I also know that there's an investigation that runs very deep into the Clinton Foundation that's been going on for months. So do I think the Department of Justice is not going to give us those text messages? No, I think we're going to get them. I wish we'd get them tomorrow, but, you know, unfortunately, there is a bureaucracy and a process that none of us like. But that's my guess. Anyway, and I've been as critical as anybody of the Justice Department. By the way, this just breaking, and the Daily Beast is reporting the first leak from the four-page memo, and apparently it specifically names FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, former FBI Director James Comey, and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And just a snippet of what we have. All right, Ron DeSantis, Sarah Carter, Jonathan Gillum, and Danielle McLaughlin all coming up.
Are you going to talk to Mueller?
I'm looking forward to it, actually.
You want to?
You have a date set?
Here's the story, just so you understand. There's been no collusion whatsoever. There's no obstruction whatsoever. And I'm looking forward to it. I do worry when I look at all of the things that you people don't report about with what's happening. If you take a look at, you know, the 5 months' worth of missing texts. That's a lot of missing texts. And as I said yesterday, that's prime time. So you do sort of look at that and say, what's going on? You do look at certain texts where they talk about insurance policies or insurance, where they say the kinds of things they're saying. You got to be concerned. But I would love to do that, and I'd like to do it as soon as possible.
Well,
good luck,
it,
everybody.
Do you have a date set? Come
on. So here's the story.
Do you have a date set?
I don't know. No, I guess they're talking about 2 or 3 weeks, but I would love to do it.
Would you in person?
You know, again, it's, I have to say, subject to my lawyers and all of that, but I would love
would
to
do it.
Do
you do it under oath, Mr. President?
You mean like Hillary did it under? Who said that?
Oh. I said that. Oh. Did you do it under oath?
You said it. You did say it. You say a lot. Did Hillary do it under oath?
I have no idea what I'm going to ask.
I think you have an idea.
Do
don't you have an
30?
Idea?
Do you think
wait a minute. Wait. Do you not have an idea? Do you really not have an idea? I'll give you an idea. She didn't do it under oath. But I would do it under oath. Listen.
You would.
But I would do it. And you know she didn't do it under oath.
Do you trust the FBI?
Well, we're going to see. I mean, I am very disturbed, as is the general, as is everybody else that is intelligent. When you look at 5 months, this is the late, great Rosemary Woods, right? With a step, right? This is a large-scale version.
18 minutes.
That was 18 minutes. This is 5 months. They say it's 50,000 texts, and it's prime time. That's disturbing. Say hello to your parents.
Should McCabe go? Should McCabe
general,
go, Mr. President? Should McCabe go?
Well, McCabe got more than $500,000 from essentially Hillary Clinton, and is he investigating Hillary Clinton?
So should he go?
Do you remember, did anybody hear many of my speeches where I talked about McCabe? He was the star of my speech. This isn't now. And I said, a man who was more or less in charge of her, got the wife got $500,000 from Terry. Terry is Hillary. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean...
Do you regret having him as your acting FBI director then?
You know what? I keep out of it. Mm-hmm. You'd find that hard to believe. I keep out of it. That's the way it fell. He's been there. It's one of those things. But he was the star of many of my speeches. Because he got from 5 to 700,000, whatever the number was.
Did you ask?
Got that money for the wife.
Yeah, did you,
and you know,
did
in Virginia, it's very interesting. Wait,
for?
In Virginia, you don't have to spend the money. Mm-hmm. So I never checked as to whether or not they spent the money on the campaign. How much of the money did he spend on the campaign? You know, she.
All right, that was the president from the gaggle yesterday. If you noticed and paid very close attention, the media's, oh my gosh, he's gonna testify before Robert Mueller in the investigation. Of course, with the lawyers. Input, which I doubt any lawyer is going to allow Donald Trump to walk in and talk to somebody like Robert Mueller and his merry band of corrupt Clinton and Obama and DNC donors and has assembled a team of people with questionable ethics like Andrew Weissman, a guy that once held back exculpatory evidence in a case, lost 9-0 in a Supreme Court overturn and lost in a case that he had put four Merrill executives in jail by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the tactics have been brought into question, as Sidney Powell has described many times on this program. I doubt they're going to allow Donald Trump to walk in and say, oh, ask anything you want. It's not going to happen. I accept that the president basically is telegraphing, well, I've got nothing to hide. The big news that we have been talking about today, and I broke this last night just at 9 o'clock while I was coming on the air, and that is that we have now learned that U.S. government officials, that the inspector general recovered the text, and that covers that 5-month missing period of time, and has taken possession of at least 4 phones belonging to Strzok and Page. And the Justice Department now saying they want to screen missing Strzok and Page texts before giving them to Congress. And then we've got a battle going on as the FBI and Department of Justice, I don't think this is Jeff Sessions, by the way, in any way, going after Devin Nunes and wanting to know what's in the memo, although I'm sure they already know. And Devin Nunes of the House Intel Committee is saying, excuse me, but we're investigating you and we're not going to tell you what we have. And so many other things. Was there, in fact, you know, a special, but now there's talk of a second special counsel. Then, of course, some people are suggesting after ABC News broke last night that Ron Johnson's comments about a secret society meeting off campus, meaning an offsite meeting, whether or not that was in jest or not. The Judiciary Committee now looks like they may question James Comey. Representative Ratcliffe wants Comey to testify about his inconsistencies. That's a big deal. Mueller, of course, I would argue the special counsel leaking hard yesterday to distract from all the negative news that has been exposed about this counsel, about this investigation, and things that they are not investigating. It was almost about a year ago when Sarah Carter and John Solomon first broke the story that Trump Tower had been surveilled, that a FISA warrant had been obtained. Fascinating how the news media fixated and focused on Donald Trump saying, oh, it looks like I was spied upon. Well, in reality, he was. And the media got it wrong. And the media has been chasing a little rabbit around the same circle now for the entire year with no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. And meanwhile, they're missing the biggest story in their careers. And that is a presidential candidate that rigged a primary, a presidential candidate that was exonerated before she, Hillary Clinton, was investigated in spite of an overwhelming mountain of evidence that shows that she did, in fact, commit multiple felonies, and that is mishandling of classified information, destroying classified information, obstruction of justice, and so much more that she paid for through her own campaign and through running the DNC finances, a Russian dossier full of propaganda, salacious lies, and that she worked with Fusion GPS, who she paid over $12 million to. They tried to shop all of this to media outlets in America to lie to the American people to influence an election. And then that phony dossier was used as a foundation to get a FISA warrant against an opposition party in a presidential election year, and then a president-elect and his entire team. Now, this is beyond any scandal in American history. I don't know how else to describe it. makes Watergate look like a case of stealing a Snickers bar from a candy store. Anyway, Sarah Carter has been all over this now for the entire year. We've been unpeeling the onion, and it looks like everything you've reported and we've been talking about is now coming true.
Sean, it's not just peeling back the layers. Now it's completely unraveling. And I think this is why you see the House Intelligence Committee basically laying down the law when it comes to this FISA memo and saying, no, we're not going to share it with the DOJ. Although officials that I've spoken with today have told me that, you know, they really want to be able to take a look at what Devin Nunes has collected in order to see who or what is named in that FISA memo so that they can then move forward with.
Well, aren't they
going to
see it next week?
If need be.
Aren't they going to see it next week with the rest of us? My source is telling me that I would assume it's going to happen after the State of the Union address when the president gets back from Davos, but I would assume they're not going to step on that.
That's right. That's exactly what I've been told. It'll happen after the State of the Union address, and the House Intelligence Committee is standing firm on that they do not want to share this. There's a lot of concern about corruption. Just go back to this, you know, the trying to retrieve these text messages. All you have to do is ask yourself, why in the world did the FBI in the first place say they could not retrieve those text messages? I can't tell you how many phone calls I got after that story broke from people that conduct forensics. This is their life. People within the FBI and who had worked at the FBI and said, don't buy it. It's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. If they have those cell phones, they can get those text messages, even if they were wiped clean, because they have capabilities. They leave ghost prints. We all do. All of our phones leave these ghost prints behind. So remember, everything out there can be exposed and read. And they said that's why a lot of times bad guys microwave their cell phones, bust their cell phones with hammers, try to use bleach bit on their computers, and destroy their hard drives. And I think that's something we remember from the past, right? We saw that happen. Hillary Clinton's phones, they were busted with hammers. And that's the reason why. There are ghost prints left behind. So it appears that the IG, the Inspector General...
Well, I want you to slow down, because what you're saying here is literally chock full of information. And I want you to slow down and explain this whole ghost print thing.
Okay. From the beginning, when you text someone, when you send a message or an email through your phone, your phone will capture, this is according to the people that I've spoken with, those text messages. Now, you go in and you delete it. You think, okay, I've gotten rid of that. I'm clearing my history. I'm going to wipe out my phone. But it doesn't work because your phone, I'm not talking the server, your phone itself will retain markers that FBI forensics experts and intelligence experts can find. Now, those markers, once they're discovered, will then reveal the text messages. This is very important. Informants that have worked with the FBI, people that I've spoken with in the past week, they have shown me documents where they have signed off their phones because they were informants and have given permission to the FBI to retrieve their data. And in fact, one person in particular actually had the Samsung 5, the exact same phone that was being used by Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. And they said to me, even though their phone was cleaned, even though they had erased their phone and they had told the FBI, hey, look, you know, I mean, this phone's, it's clean now. The FBI was like, no problem. Give us your phone. We've got a forensics team and we can retrieve anything, any data off of that phone that is left behind. These are called, you know, ghost prints. And those ghost prints will then, and I'm not a forensic expert, but those markers will then enable the forensic expert to actually pull those text messages out and view them. So they should be able to find all, if not the majority, of the text messages between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok.
All right, stay right there. Sarah Carter, sarahcarter.com is her website. We'll be breaking new news tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We're putting it together now and all the latest developments as the media has failed spectacularly in all of this. right, as we continue, Sarah Carter is with us, Fox News contributor and investigative reporter. All right, let's get to some of the other issues here. You're working on a couple of stories for tonight. Can you give us a preview?
Yes. Well, one of them is dealing specifically with the recovery of the cell phones. And the other one I'm looking at is this battle between the Department of Justice and the House Intelligence Committee over this FISA abuse memo. And think about this, Sean. This is so important because this was the beginning of everything. And as you mentioned at the top, this was the very beginning when we discovered, John Solomon and I went at Circa at the time, discovered that there had been a warrant into the Trump campaign and a warrant into the server. Remember, they were looking at the server system that was off-site of Trump Tower, but directly related to Trump. And then we said to ourselves, well, what's going on here? And then we discover later on that people within the campaign were being monitored. And then we discovered this dossier. And as each layer of this onion peeled back, then we discovered by a story in the Washington Post that the dossier was actually paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC. And we saw all the discoveries with Fusion GPS and how tangled up they were with the DOJ. Bruce Orr at the DOJ, his wife, Nellie Orr, who was working for Fusion GPS, who was the embattled research firm that's, that was at the time paid for to put together this dossier with this ex-British spy. So you can't even write a movie like this. I mean, I don't think most people would believe it. And every time you turn a corner, you discover something new. And I think there's concern with members on the House Intelligence Committee and other members in Congress that something gets covered up. This is what they said from the beginning. The DOJ's Inspector General is doing a report. We are conducting our own investigation. It's a check and balance. We will reveal our investigation, let the IG reveal his investigation, and let's see where all of this stands. And I think that's where they're heading. That's where they're going. And it'll keep everything apropos, they say, because the IG certainly doesn't want to be manipulated by anyone. And from what I hear, the IG is conducting a very intensive investigation, including interviews with a slew of FBI agents and others within the DOJ. We've seen some of that information already leak out to the public in the stories that we were able to talk about and publish. We've also seen a number of investigations being conducted by Congress, but each one will check itself out. And I think that's the reason why they don't want to share this FISA memo with the DOJ.
All right. Thank you, Sarah Carter. Your website, sarahcarter.com. We always appreciate you being with us, and great work. We'll break all this wide open. The latest developments tonight at 9 on the Fox News Channel. Ron DeSantis of the Freedom Caucus has seen the memo. He'll join us next.
Boy, is this a sad state of affairs about our politics in general, that you have members of the same committee dividing along party lines and having competing memos? What do you think is going to happen here with the much hyped memo and now the response memo? Is it going to come out? Will we get to judge?
Well, it shouldn't come out because, I mean, I've read it and I've read the underlying source material. It is profoundly misleading.
So you read it and you weren't concerned about things. You don't have further questions about the FISA process?
No, I don't think it. Well, I can't comment, actually. It's secret.
Too late. FISA, but continue.
Suffice it to say, the document is extremely misleading as compared to the underlying documents. And it's very dangerous for the Republicans here to say, we've got this document that's terrible, but we can't tell you what's behind it. We can't show you the evidence because that's secret. If you only knew what we knew, you'd know things were terrible.
What do you think about the decision not to show it to the Department of Justice? Their rationale is you don't show the people you're investigating the basis for your investigation.
Well, number one, why are they investigating the Department of Justice? There's an inspector general for that. But number two, the Department of Justice is the agency which determines, which got all these secret documents and classified information. And you really should. You're playing with the national security of the United States if you're going to release documents based on classified information without at least showing and hearing from the department why it's dangerous or what you can release and what you can't. I mean, the Department of Justice is not claiming the right to stop them from releasing it, but they're saying at least show it to us and let us tell you what's dangerous and what's not.
Gerald Nadler always has been and continues to be a hack. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. I'll tell you who's been doing great work. Before that, you heard Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa accusing the FBI of playing hide the ball on this Russia probe. Here we are a year later, no evidence. But everything we discuss about a FISA warrant against a opposition candidate in an election year, and then a president-elect and his team, and then the FISA court issuing a warrant based on an opposition party bought and paid for phony Russian propaganda dossier, well, the media is kind of ignoring that. Now, how bad is the memo? When are we going to ever get to see the memo? Congressman Ron DeSantis of Florida is joining us. He's a Freedom Caucus member, and it's good news for the great state of Florida. He's going to be running for governor down there. I have endorsed him in that race. He's been a leader of the Freedom Caucus and one of the few people in Washington that you can actually count on. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Sean. How are you doing?
I don't trust many of your colleagues, especially Republicans. I think we all learned a lot when 100 Republicans had promised for however many years to repeal and replace, when they get the opportunity, had no intention of ever doing it. So there's very few people that I like and trust. And, you know, because of where you stand, I think you're one of the guys we should trust and can trust.
Well, thanks, Sean. Look, we need to get this memo out. We will get it out. There's just a process that the guys on the Intelligence Committee are going through, because this procedure in the House hasn't been used for a while, if ever, and they just want to make sure they do it right. They should not give the memo to the Department of Justice or the FBI, though. I mean, think about it. We've been pulling teeth for 4 or 5 months to get the documents on which the memo is based, and they fought us every step of the way. Finally, under threat of contempt of Congress, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein turned it over, and the Intelligence Committee members were able to review it and then create the memo. But our job is to conduct oversight over these executive branch agencies. They don't have any right to conduct oversight over the Congress. They're just an inferior agency in the executive branch. And so the media is kind of trying to play hide the ball there a little bit by acting like Nunes should be walking over his memo to Rosenstein. And here's the thing about protecting...
Well, wait a minute. Isn't the House investigating, you know, what's gone on at the FBI and the DOJ? And I'm not accusing the Attorney General of anything, but in other words, what has happened within the highest ranks, Loretta Lynch and maybe before her, Eric Holder, but certainly Comey and Strzok and Page and McCabe and Rosenstein themselves.
Exactly. And you wonder, why were they fighting the release of this so doggedly for so long? I mean, it heightened expectations that there's some things in there they're trying to hide. And if you look at it, and if the memo comes out and it does substantiate FISA abuse, and I'll leave that to people once they read it to determine that, it will implicate, obviously, people who were involved in that process during the Obama administration. But, and this is not in the memo, but if that surveillance was re-upped every 90 days, which is what the statute requires, a sign-off, that could have stretched into the Trump administration, and you very well may have had Rod Rosenstein as the deputy AG signing an extension.
Well, that's what I want to know. Did he extend this FISA warrant that was predicated on a phony Hillary Clinton Russian propaganda never confirmed dossier? In other words, if Rosenstein did that, that's outrageous, because before he extends it beyond the 90 days, doesn't he have an obligation to verify it?
Exactly. But remember, Comey, even in as late as the spring of 2016, said the dossier was salacious and unverified. And I think when the memo comes out, I mean, I can't say anything about it, but I think you'll get a fuller picture on some of this stuff and on not only what was used, but what was verified. And so I think those questions will be answered by the memo. So you have this situation where if Rosenstein comes in, he's one of only a couple guys by statute who are even allowed to do this. And we know Jeff Sessions was recused. So one of the follow-up questions once the memo is released is, did Rosenstein sign one? And if he did, and he didn't go back and verify any of the stuff in there, then obviously he would be complicit, even if it's after the original surveillance, after that fact. But then that would explain to you why he was so insistent on fighting turning this stuff over to Congress, because I think he knew that if he signed it and Congress found that there was abuse, that he could be implicated as well.
Well, let's go through the whole thing here and tell me what part of this I might have wrong. And by the way, I'm not even discussing Uranium One, but I... So we have an investigation, and I say the evidence is overwhelming, incontrovertible, on Hillary Clinton and the email server scandal. Number one, it never should have been off-site. She has a not only a fiduciary responsibility, but a national security responsibility to keep those that information safe and secure. So she puts all of this off-site, mishandling of classified top-secret special access program information. That's a crime. She destroys 33,000 subpoenaed emails. That, to me, would be a crime of obstruction. And then just to make really, really sure, she acid washes it with bleach pit, and then she busts up her mobile devices with hammers. Okay. Then, so then we get the fix in. We have Comey and Strzok, and Strzok is a Trump-hating, Hillary Clinton-loving individual that says there's no there on Russia, but if I can impeach a president, then I'm interested, as he talks to his mistress girlfriend. They're writing an exoneration before an investigation. Okay. Then you got Hillary Clinton paying for a never verified, even by Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS, Russian propaganda dossier, $12 million, her campaign and the DNC she's controlling, funnel it through a lawyer. And that is to rig the general election, just like she rigged the primary against Bernie. And then they also use it as the foundation of a FISA warrant against the opposition party candidate Donald Trump and an incoming president-elect Donald Trump and his team. Is there anything I've said here that's false?
Well, I definitely can't dispute. I mean, I think there's even, I think, more. I think you were a little kind with how they handled Hillary. Yeah, they gave her a total free pass. But remember, her underlings like Cheryl Mills, Puma, they were making false statements left and right. There was no false statement prosecution on any of them like you've seen with General Flynn when they rushed to interview Flynn at the White House shortly after the Trump inauguration. So I think when you look at the text message, and one of the reasons why we need to get the missing text messages, you see Peter Strzok's bias, and that's apparent, not just that he doesn't like Trump, but that we can't let Trump get elected or we need an insurance policy. But then the whole scenario you outlined, the questionable actions in both cases dovetail with Strzok's bias. I mean, I think that's the problem. You know, the bias of itself is troubling, and you shouldn't have someone there with those views and those high-profile cases. But is it affecting your actions? And I don't see how you can look at Strzok and say that he was not influenced on that. He wanted to bring Hillary's case to a conclusion. He wanted to water down Comey's statement from extreme carelessness from gross negligence. But he has always wanted to go after Donald Trump. And that's what you see on some of this stuff. So I think
we do have some good news. And I was able to break this last night on Hannity that, in fact, that the Department of Justice, government officials now have confirmed that they are recovering the 5 missing months of text messages. And so I've got to believe there's probably going to be more smoking guns as they continue that process of being able to get that information. But the fact is, we have that. Then now that brings us to Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller was appointed. We've now had a year investigation, and he was appointed because James Comey wanted it, because he leaked information that may be illegal to his Columbia professor, now attorney. How convenient. I guess they have attorney-client privilege. And then Robert Mueller, his BFF, is appointed. We have no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. And then you set poor General Flynn up in a perjury trap because they surveilled, didn't minimize, unmasked, and release raw intelligence and set him up for a perjury trap, even if he misremembered. And now we find ourselves where we are today. And I just want to know, when are we going to get the memo released, and how bad was it when you went over to see it?
Well, I want to release as soon as possible. Those guys are working on it. I trust that they want to do it and get it out there. But we need to get it out there as soon as possible. And look, a lot of us have had questions about how all this stuff happened. We had our views about, you know, especially when we saw Peter Strzok and all that thing. But you read it and, you know, it confirms some of my suspicions. And it really, there are some things in there that really surprised me that I would not have expected. And it's not in a good way. So we need to get it out. It'll be important. The public will have intense interest in it. And I think it will cause there to be some further reshuffling in the DOJ and FBI.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Florida Congressman, Freedom Caucus member Ron DeSantis Don't forget, if you live in the great state of Florida, he is now running to be your next governor, which I think would be a great job for you. We'll come back. We'll continue on the other side of this as our breaking news continues. This is the Sean Hannity Show. All right, as we continue with Congressman Ron DeSantis, Freedom Caucus member. All right, so I got a question. Is the American people ever going to get this memo? And what do you think will be the reaction? Now, the Democrats are saying they're coming out with their own memo. They're playing politics, obviously. What would the reaction of the average person that's working hard every day at their jobs that don't pay attention to this like we do? What is going to be their reaction?
Well, I think there'll be a couple things. One, I think that they will be very disappointed in how some of this stuff was handled during the campaign. But I also think what it will do is really undermine the whole legitimacy of this collusion narrative. It's been really battered lately because there just hasn't been evidence. And I think more and more Americans have come to see it as political. But I think after this, I think they'll view it as very political. And I think there'll be pressure to have Mueller wrap up so we can move on with the country's business.
But you watch the leaks from Mueller this week. I mean, it's obviously coming from his office. Don't you think that his corrupt band of Democratic donors and corrupt people like Andrew Weissman, and he appointed Peter Strzok and others, and Lisa Page were on this, don't you think he has a goal to take down the president? Don't you think he wants to go out with a splash? I do.
Well, look, I mean, you have why he would have assembled the team he did. I just have no clue. I mean, he's either somebody who's trying to amass people who are against Trump, or he's the most tone-deaf individual that's ever operated in Washington. And this guy is a skilled operator. He's been around for a while. So I think he's made huge mistakes along the way here. But at the end of the day, the facts are the facts. And
but at the end of the day, you can indict a ham sandwich, can't you?
Well, that's an argument, though, for, I mean, there's no collusion and there's no obstruction. So for me, I look at this, does the president have an incentive to want to talk with Mueller, and I don't think the president has anything to gain by talking with Mueller at all.
But they can subpoena him. I mean, I agree, and I think the whole thing is corrupt, but I think he'll have no choice, and it's going to be a negotiation about what they ask him about, and I don't trust Mueller. I don't trust Weissman. I don't trust the team he's built around him, and I think you have basically a political witch hunt, but we'll see. I've got to run. Ron DeSantis, good luck in your run for governor. We're going to miss you in the House. We need more Freedom Caucus members, not less.
Well, we're going to have you move to Florida soon, Sean, so I'm going to be banging on your door.
Oh, great. Well, at least you don't charge me state income tax. I'm getting killed in New York, absolutely demolished. Wait till I tell you one day what my property tax bill is every year. You'll have a heart attack.
I guarantee you'll save a lot, and you can put that into our economy down here.
So my accountant tells me every year at our annual meeting, don't die in New York. And I said, I'm really going to try. I promise. All right. Thank you, Congressman.
Informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site.
What we have seen, what Johnny and I saw today, was a text about not keeping tax.
Leader Schumer, what one thing did he get from Republicans to justify shutting down the government in the first place?
So the one thing I would say that he did get is the potential for momentum.
Holding them accountable. Sean gets the answers no one else does.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome. The revolution.
We burning down the night, shooting bullets at the moon, baby. This is how we roll.
Sean Hannity.
New Sean Hannity Show.
More behind the scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
A dizzying 24 hours in the Russia investigation, no longer just inching toward the president. This morning, it is more like careening.
Happening now, breaking news closing in.
The special counsel's Russia probe closes in on the president and his inner circle. After 24 hours of bombshell reports and developments, another one just in, CNN has now learned that the special counsel, Robert Mueller, wants to question the president's former White House chief strategist, Steve Bannon.
The outline of an obstruction of justice case filling in bit by bit. As NBC's First Read political team notes, if the optics around Bill Clinton's tarmac meeting with Loretta Lynch were bad, this is, quote, 100 times worse.
It was a day of revelations in the Russia probe.
If there's any day to be watching Ari, it is today. Russia, Russia, Russia.
A lot going on.
All right, glad you're with us. News Roundup, Information Overload, 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, you got a media still reveling a year later with no evidence in this special counsel, Robert Mueller, and his obvious leaks. It was not ever breaking news yesterday that Mueller is going to want to talk to the president or ask the president some questions. But I know for a fact Mueller and his team are absolutely livid that they have been exposed as the politicos that they are, with the bias that they have and the corruption that exists, and the fact that if he'd open his eyes, he'd actually see real Russia collusion, except it's with Hillary buying and funding a phony Russian dossier full of propaganda misinformation that ultimately was used to obtain a FISA warrant against an opposition candidate in a presidential election year and then an incoming president-elect. He's livid about it and how he's going to react rather than just admit he's wrong, which would be the right and correct thing to do. Who knows what he's capable of? Anyway, joining us is the author of the brand-new best-selling book, Sheep No More, Jonathan Gillum, Danielle McLaughlin, attorney, constitutional expert, who co-wrote The Federalist Society. You know, I've got to believe as a liberal, Danielle, that this would bother you. It should bother you that the head of the DNC in an election year calls Bernie Sanders one of the worst calls, agonizing calls in her life, Donna Brazile calling Bernie Sanders and saying that the primary was rigged. Then I think it would bother you as an attorney that we now discovered that the Trump-hating agent at the top of the heap, Peter Strzok, and James Comey are writing an exoneration months before they ever talk to the main people being investigated. And then Loretta Lynch, quote, she knew that it would never happen. It was a profile in courage that she probably knew. And Andrew McCabe probably knew. And then I think it would really bother you that if one candidate of one party has an unverified, turns out to be false Russian dossier with salacious materials, and it's then used to get a FISA warrant against an opposition candidate, and they're also using the dossier to misinform the American people purposefully, and the people that they're paying are coordinating with the media, and then it's used on a president-elect. I've got to believe that would piss you off, that a side of you has to be civil libertarian and that you see that the powerful tools of intelligence, the weapons of intelligence that we give the intelligence community are being used against Americans. I would think you're as angry as I am and say, you know what, Hannity, this isn't left or right. This isn't conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. This is about our Constitution.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Jonathan. You know, I can agree with you on some of that, and I can disagree on others. I think that Loretta Lynch on a tarmac with Bill Clinton was a disgrace and was unacceptable, and I'm glad that she recused herself from anything further to do with Clinton. As it relates to the dossier, if it was improperly used to get a FISA warrant, and I want us to find that out, then I am right with you. That was inappropriate, and I want the OIG or whoever it is, I want heads to roll. I will say that the Democrat funding of the dossier was in the final months, and prior to that, it was funded by the Washington Free Beacon, as we all know. The last thing I'll say is, as it relates to the rigging of the primary, you know, Clinton won that by about 4 million votes. I do agree with you that there was some favoritism within the DNC.
Stop for a second. If it's rigged and the other guy has no shot, which is what happened, you've got to stop and say, wait a minute, why did that happen? And then if the fix is in an investigation where we know crimes were committed, because mishandling classified information, top secret, special access program information is a crime. Destroying such is a crime. deleting them when they're subpoenaed is a crime. Using acid wash bleach bit is a crime. Busting up mobile devices is a crime. And I'm just wondering, you know, do you have the intellectual honesty to just admit, you know what, Hannity, you've done a lot of work here. You're right on this.
You know what I do? I work really hard to be intellectually honest with you because I think it's really important for us, either whatever side we're on, to be able to say when our side is wrong. You know, the I find it very problematic that that machines and iPads were smashed. I will say that they were backed up. The 30,000 missing emails were emails that her own lawyers determined were not relevant.
Excuse me. When they were subpoenaed, she didn't get the choice of picking which one she wanted to hand over. So stop spinning it.
You do actually, because
and by the way,
do
you know anybody in your life that ever used acid wash on their hard drives, bleach fit? Do you know anybody?
No, I don't, Sean.
No.
I really don't. I think it's some sort of a software. I can't pretend to, be an expert on that.
Jonathan, I mean, the case is overwhelming. It's incontrovertible. And we have a media covering for her. And we got a special counsel that's out for blood. And he put together an abusively biased team of left-wing political hacks and Obama and Clinton and DNC donors and no Trump likers.
You know, Sean, two things. One thing, I think if Danielle was able to see some of the stuff that I've seen from being in the FBI and certain places, I have no doubt that she would see things a little bit differently than what she does, because we both know her. She's an extremely intelligent and well thought out person. So I don't fault her and a lot of the American people for not understanding what's going on with Mueller and his lackeys and these criminal elements that exist in the government. The reality, though, when you were explaining how Mueller and them were livid because they have been impeded on this Russia investigation, or they've been kind of discovered. The reality is, I think they're running scared a little bit, although I don't think they think anything's ever going to happen to themselves. What's happening with this Russia investigation, what they're trying to do with Trump, it's not that they're seeking out to find out if the Russians colluded with Trump and vice versa. They're trying to get Trump pinned into a corner where they can push the narrative on him and bury him. That's what they're trying to do. This has nothing to do with justice. And I would hope that Mueller, you know, who's a Marine and who's in the Army Ranger Hall of Fame, I would hope that when his head hits the pillow at night, that the full weight of his moral insurrections lays upon him and squishes him like a bug, that he realizes what he's done to the overall spirit of freedom in this country. It's just, it's absolutely sickening that somebody of his caliber.
I want to know this.
What, like Susan Rice.
When did he sell out? At what point in his career? Is there, oh, he's a man of impeccable integrity. At what point
right.
did he lose any sense of proportionality and not objectively discern that what he is doing is wrong? Because a switch had to go off at some point if he was this great guy that everyone describes.
Well,
you know, I have to jump in here. You know, I don't see, and I don't know how the American people would also see how he has somehow been impugned or impeached. We know very little about this investigation. We have two people pleading guilty to lying to the FBI. We have what is typical in these kinds of things, which is...
Wait a minute, what we have is no Russia-Trump collusion.
To Trump.
None. Zero. Zip. Nada. Nothing.
And also, and Jonathan, I know you can speak to this, FBI investigations are undertaken confidentially. It's not surprising that we don't know what they know. We shouldn't know what they know.
Wait a minute. Here's what, but what we do know should be troubling, that they're writing an exoneration before an investigation. You ever hear of that before in all your years being a lawyer?
You know, you've asked me that before, and because I
have you ever heard of it ever?
I have not heard of it.
Never.
I know that they had seen
Never.
The documents.
Does it make sense? Wait a minute. Forget about your training as a lawyer. Does it make sense that you'd exonerate months before investigating?
You know, not necessarily, but they had seen the documents, so they understood what the universe looked
Excuse
like.
Excuse me.
They understood what was classified and wasn't.
That is such a cop out. That is so weak.
They made the documents, Sean. They didn't see the documents. They made them. And that's different. That's called entrapment. And they can write an exoneration letter long before anything is done if they're the ones creating the evidence that they're going to use to try to bury Trump. And if you look at this whole situation, you look at this whole investigation, you look at the fact that Mueller turned, when he was leading the FBI, he turned the FBI into an intelligence gathering agency that did nothing except benefit politicians. He put Candace Will, somebody who's never been an agent, she's an attorney, he put her in charge of OPR, which is our internal investigations, and she is an avid Hillary Clinton supporter and donor, and she's in charge of punishing these people. They have a system that they've built systematically over the years that cannot be undone except by somebody like President Trump if he sticks to his guns. And that's why I keep saying, if you look at this for what it is, not what they're trying to make it out to be, it is entrapment, and it's created by these people that are these deep state leftist subversives, like Mueller, like Comey, like Rod Rosenstein, like Susan Rice, like President Barack Obama, all these people, they all work together.
Let's look at this objectively, okay? Bill Clinton impeachment in the late 90s. Originally, Ken Starr looked at what he was doing as it relates to financial transactions in Whitewater in Arkansas. He ended up being impeached for perjury, for lying. Same thing with Nixon. It was perjury. It wasn't the act itself. It was the lying about it. So the fact that this is a possibility for Donald Trump, I'm not saying it's going to happen or it's not going to happen, is not entirely ahistoric as we look at what special counsels have done in the past.
Well, what happened with Nixon? See, this is a perfect example of this. What happened with Nixon was he got caught when they tried to cover stuff up, and they tried to manipulate a system to cover things up. But they got caught doing that. It's the reverse now. The people that are doing the accusing are creating the evidence as they continue the investigation. So it's totally opposite. You have a president who's done nothing, and you have a several agencies working together to create evidence to entrap a president. It's completely opposite, but the same type of cover-up that you're seeing now as things become discovered, like these, you know, like typical criminals, they can't keep their mouth shut. In this day and age, they can't keep their texts hidden.
We got to take a break. More with Danielle McLaughlin, more with Jonathan Gillum, and your calls, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. As we continue, Jonathan Gillum and Danielle McLaughlin is with us. You know, I just I'm having a hard time understanding your position, Danielle, because I would think that you would be as outraged as I am, as Jonathan is, at what has now happened to the country. I mean, if you're using a FISA warrant predicated on a false dossier paid for by one candidate and it's not verified or corroborated, I would think you'd be angry. I don't hear real indignation in your voice at all.
If it's true, I will be indignant, but we don't know if it's true or not. That's
okay,
what I'm
excuse
to
me.
To.
You got
to
keep up with the news. It's true.
Is that because of Devin Nunes's, you know, secret memo that he won't share with everybody?
We've now reported this over a month ago. It was over a year. It was about a year ago we reported for the first time that Trump Tower was spied upon with a FISA warrant. What else do you need?
That has not been established, and this is a claim.
Excuse me, it has been established.
The president made that claim.
No, it's been established.
We know that there were people who were being wiretapped, people like Paul Manafort and others, because of a counterintelligence investigation that was going on because of some dodgy dealings with Russia. And as we know now, Manafort and Gates are under indictment for an enormous number of financial crimes. The way that the president suggested that there was a bug in Trump Tower, that is not borne out to be true.
What's your reaction, Jonathan?
Well, so here's the thing with when it comes to these wiretaps and with the dossier, you need to look at the big picture of this, and it would take longer than what we have right here. But overall, this dossier was created by the DNC with, I believe, full knowledge of the head of the FBI and these individuals that were at the top at that time. It was passed across to them. It came through McCain as well, which is, you know, he's no hero of mine. And when it got to the FBI and the DOJ, it was taken to the FISA court. It wasn't handed down to agents. It wasn't taken in by agents at the investigative level. This all happened in the senior executive service level, the McCabes, the Strucks, and the political appointees. They took it to the FISA court, and it was pushed back for one of two reasons. They either did that on purpose because they're working with a corrupt judge who made it look like, oh, you need to fix this, or he really did say fix this. They took it back, just simply changed it, handed it back to him. And then they got a FISA to do these things. But here's the important thing about this. Every single time they needed some evidence of a meeting, it just appeared. And how do they do that? They either have a source that's a Russian ambassador, a source somewhere that's trying to set up meetings with the Trumps, just like they do with the Clintons. you know, when these people are running for office, they have meetings with these ambassadors. But all of these were recorded, either because they had FISA or because simply it was an ambassador from another country, which often gets listened to. And these things were overheard. Their names, the Trump and the rest of them, their names were leaked, and the narrative was created. Nothing came out of it. Nothing was proven.
Right. But I got to take a break.
Was pushed forward.
All right. Thank you both, Danielle McLaughlin, Jonathan Gillum. When we come back, wide open telephones. We have an amazing Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue. 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, we'll get to your calls here in just a minute. So remember, I call CNN the whole network, CNN fake news. 195-plus times they said all on the network because it's gratuitous and they're trying to get attention and they need ratings and nobody pays attention to them at all. So in a 24-hour period, if you can believe this or not, CNN ignoring all the things we talk about and tell you every day. No, they're focused on the Russia investigation, and in a 24-hour period, mention it 61 times. We've captured it.
Both served briefly on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation.
Russia investigation. The whole Russia investigation.
It is Russia investigation.
From all things Russia investigation.
There's a major development potentially in the Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
Russian affair and Russian investigation.
From the Russia investigation. It would hinder the Russia investigation.
In the Russia investigation.
Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
Is of this Russia investigation.
From the Russian investigation.
The Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
In the Russia investigation.
They're breaking news this morning on the Russia investigation.
A major new development in the Russia meddling investigation. Breaking news in the Russia investigation. The Russia meddling investigation. Russia investigation. Recused himself in the Russia investigation. The Russia investigation. From the Russia investigation.
It's part of the Russia investigations.
But we start with a major development, the Russia investigation.
Russia investigation.
Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation. Russia investigation.
Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
And if the Russia investigation.
A massive Russia investigation.
From the Russia investigation.
Is the Russia investigation now heating up?
The Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation. From the Russia investigation.
From the Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation. In the Russia investigation.
It was actually about the Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
Breaking headlines in the Russia investigation.
A lot of developments in the Russia investigation.
The Russia investigation.
In the Russia investigation.
We're following breaking news in the Russia investigation.
Of the Russia investigation.
Russia investigation.
Part of the Russia investigation.
In the Russia investigation.
Because we have exclusive breaking news on the Russia investigation. Lots of big revelations in the Russia investigation. Big news tonight on the Russia investigation. A lot of major new developments tonight in the Russia investigation.
Out in these districts, when you talk to people about Russia, and that's all we talk about at CNN.
This is CNN.
It's the whole network, CNN fake news. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, let's get to our busy telephones. Bernard is in Warwick in New York. A lot of Warwicks around the country, one in Rhode Island. What's going on?
One in New York. Yes, Sean. Nice to talk to you, first of all. Sean, I just wanted to bring out no one is talking about a key individual in this whole FISA GPS report, and that would be the FISA judge who signed the affidavit. At this time, that judge should know, based upon the GPS dossier being in the public domain now, he should have compared the content of that dossier with the affidavit to determine whether there was information.
Well, remember, it's not the judge's job. I mean, think about this. Glenn Simpson.
Well, it would be, Sean.
Well, but Glenn Simpson, Fusion GPS, I mean, the admission that he never actually verified any facts in the dossier, and that he was working closely with the Clinton campaign in terms of leaking specific information to the press prior to the election. Now, all of this is presented to the FISA court as fact. So they have an obligation on their end to present facts and truth to the FISA court. And the FISA court then will say, okay, we have this information. They're telling us it's true. And you know, it's not the judge's job to say, all right, give me that dossier. Let me investigate whether or not every fact you are presenting me is accurate, fair, and true. Otherwise, they'd never get anything done. So he has to accept it as fact. the people that are on the wrong side of that are those that made the argument, presenting it as fact when nobody had verified it, and it turns out to be not true. They presented false information.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right in some regard, but remember the FISA warrant was issued in the late summer, fall of 2016. We have Comey testifying before a congressional committee well after that, that the document, the GPS document, was unverified and salacious. So I it would be incumbent upon that judge to determine whether agents came into his court and knowingly presented him with false and unverified information to secure that.
I hear what you're saying, but you got to think this through here, because remember, judges have a pretty large docket in most cases, right? So
yeah, they would.
All right. So when you have the FBI, when you have the government making a presentation, especially the FBI or the Justice Department or whoever's making that presentation, they are presenting it as if it's factual, accurate, and true, because to do otherwise is to be lying before a court. Now, I have heard on my end that the FISA judge in this particular case, he's following it like we all are, and apparently is livid that he was lied to. There will be consequences. As I've been saying, there's going to be a lot of consequences down the road. I think people are going to be going to jail. This is one of the areas where I think that's going to happen. But, you know, imagine, how does a judge with maybe a tiny little staff begin to investigate this whole entire dossier? It's impossible. It's not his role. It's not his job, especially when you're dealing with people that you're supposed to trust.
Well, yes, but obviously, if that judge is living on the planet Mars at the moment, this has become such a significant issue.
Well, the dossier, but understand, the FISA warrant doesn't exist anymore, but the judge, trust me, that judge, in my opinion, if I was lied to, I would be going absolutely bat-blanking crazy trying to ascertain what happened and determine whether or not I was lied to. I think all that's going to happen, but it's not the most important fact of the matter that we're discussing here, but I hear your point. I mean, I think you're right. How does a judge possibly begin to verify everything in a... And by the way, remember, for a year, Fusion GPS never even acknowledged that the Clinton campaign and the Hillary-run DNC had financed the whole thing. That was not presented to him. Remember, it came through somebody in John McCain's office. Back to our phones. Matt in Harrisburg, PA. What's up, Matt? How are you? Glad you called, sir.
Sure thing, Sean. First, kudos to you and the team for bringing all this to light. But been watching, you know, the other news outlets with their coverage of the stuff you've been working on for a year, and they're acting like this has just been hatched in a back room here in the last.
By the way, they're avoiding it like the plague. That's why I played the CNN piece. Russia, Russia, Russia. They are clinging to their lies because they know this is embarrassing to them.
Yeah, I have been watching. Chris Cuomo has actually been doing a couple segments on it. He had one last night. He's supposed to have another one tonight. But they're painting it as conspiracy theories, by right-wing radicals, Fox News. Do they have any idea that there are actual reporters like Sarah Carter, John Solomon, that have been working on this for the better part of a year?
Yeah, look, we first broke this almost a year ago when we went on the air. I actually went back and dragged up the transcript of it. Big breaking news that, in fact, Trump Tower was surveilled and that it was a FISA warrant. We had it right from day one.
So my question is, do you think that they have anybody on their staff that is even actively looking at this? Or are they just ignoring it, hoping it goes away? You would think they would want to try and uncover the truth.
Listen, do you know what they're hoping for? Listen, I know for a fact there's no way that there's no way that Mueller and his people, and Comey too for that matter, are not following the developments of this story that we are breaking every day. They're not watching the other channels, I can promise you. And I have gotten, feedback, let's say, that I know that they watch and I know that they're listening and I know that they're following and I know that they are livid. Because they never thought that this was going to happen. They all thought Hillary was going to win. And, you know, in spite of their... They thought they were so powerful that they'd get away with all of this.
Well, my only fear is that the deck is stacked against us. saying that it's going to be stopped somehow, some way. But I certainly hope that you and your team keep moving forward, because this needs to get pushed into the end zone.
Matt, I promise you this, and look, it's like it is a team effort. I mean, Sarah Carter, John Solomon, Tom Fitton, Greg Jarrett, Jay Sekulow, Victoria Tunsing. We're not even touching the new developments that are emerging in the Uranium One story. Remember, we had a guy that was an FBI informant, you know, lodged deep inside of all of this that has all the evidence there. The only thing I get warned about is, well, if officials knock on your door, call me, meaning my attorney. Don't talk to them. That's what I'm being told. But I will tell you that, you know, I never knew how bad the swamp was or journalism is. And it is so bad that I worry that the country in the end is going to be able to recover and get back on a noble path. Because America as a country, you know, there's never been a country that's accumulated more power and abused it less than this one. There's never been a country that's accumulated more power and used it to advance the goodness in the human condition more than this one. And that's all predicated on the fact that we are all imperfect. This government is imperfect. If you read our framers and our founders, I love to quote Thomas Paine in Common Sense in 1776. And Thomas Paine said, "We're the guides and dictates of conscience," meaning if human beings would listen to God in their heart, if it was irresistibly obeyed, there'd be no need for any other lawgiver, no need for government. And then he immediately dismisses it, but that not being the case, and he talks about the need and the formation of government, and it should be limited government. And what we have seen is a real sewer emerge. And I just never understood how bad it was until now. You know, when the Republicans, 100 House members, promised to repeal and replace, and they never meant it, that is a betrayal on a massive level. You know, when 7 senators in 2015 vote for straight repeal, and then they won't do it when it matters in 2017, it is a betrayal on a massive level. You know, I'm now looking at congressmen and senators as, you're right, as individuals. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am a conservative. I'm not a nationalist, and I'm not a populist. I'm a Reagan conservative. Always have been throughout my entire career. You know, it's amazing when some people call me and say, "Oh, I first heard you when you were in Huntsville, Alabama in 1990. You haven't changed." And I haven't. I mean, I've evolved. Hopefully I've gotten smarter and more mature, a little wiser. But my fundamental belief system, my core belief system, has not shifted. This is not nationalism, populism. This is conservatism. The president's policies have been conservative. They haven't been nationalist, populist. And it's a way that, you know, I noticed Bill Kristol in an interview slamming Fox News. Roger Ailes wouldn't even recognize the place. And I'm like, you didn't know Roger Ailes like I did. Because I've not changed. And if you can't see corruption at the highest levels in the Department of Justice and the FBI, not rank and file, if you can't see it, then you've changed. You know, I grew up admiring people like George Will, and I like Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol is just, you know, locked into his destroy Trump, never Trumper, you know, decision. And it, look, once somebody's locked into something, their ego, it's a very peculiar thing, but it's very predictable. They cannot possibly admit that they were wrong, and to admit that Trump is governing as a conservative to them, it's like the most painful thing in the world. Quick break. We'll come back. More of your calls straight ahead. We got an incredible Hannity tonight. Tell you more about that in a few minutes.
Going to say, I mean, I am very disturbed, as is the general, as is everybody else that is intelligent. When you look at 5 months, this is the late, great Rosemary Woods, right? With a step, right? This is a large-scale version.
18 minutes.
That was 18 minutes. This is 5 months. They say it's 50,000 texts. and it's prime time. That's disturbing.
Say hello to your parents.
Should McCabe go? Should McCabe go, Mr. President? Should McCabe go?
Well, McCabe got more than $500,000 from essentially Hillary Clinton, and is he investigating Hillary Clinton?
So should he go?
Do you remember, did anybody hear many of my speeches where I talked about McCabe? He was the star of my speech. This isn't now. And I said, a man who was more or less in charge of her, got the wife got $500,000 from Terry. Now, Terry is Hillary.
All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Loaded up tonight, the latest information, leaks now emerging on the memo. We have Sebastian Gorka, Herman Cain, Representative Bob Goodlatte, who's playing a big role in all of this, Ed Henry, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Dan Bongino, Austin Goolsbee, Tommy Lahren. The latest developments you won't get in the mainstream media. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight at 9 and back here tomorrow.